Welcome to Rocket Talent, a podcast dedicated to helping you, the tech professional, learn from real-world discussions with notable leaders in the product management, data science, and engineering space. I'm your host, Jonathan Spies. I wanted to do a deeper dive into more of the soft and people skills needed to be a successful product manager. In our past episodes, we interviewed successful leaders in the space and their journeys as managers, and we noticed a recurring theme of personal development and flaws needed to take it to the next level. On today's show, we do a deep dive with Kate Leto, the former head of product at Moo and product leader at Yahoo. Kate has a stellar reputation and has been featured by Mind the Product and other mediums on product topics, but as of most recently, been focusing on the importance of emotional intelligence as a product leader. So, we are going to jump to our interview with Kate to share some insight to help you step up your product EQ game and avoid some of these common mishaps.
Hi there. I am very excited to introduce you to today's guest on the Rocket Talent podcast. Please welcome Kate Leto, who has been mentioned on Mind the Product, worked in product for many years, and blogged all across the internet, very well known. Very happy to have you here. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan. It's great to be here.
So it would be great for the audience if you don't mind just maybe giving a quick summary on your background, and we can go from there.
Sure. So I have about 20 years of product and marketing experience. So I guess I'm a bit of a veteran in this day and age in product management. Over the last few years, I have been more of a consultant than a full-time product manager. I left my last full-time job, which was head of product at Moo.com in 2011. And I did that to kind of start my own startup or do my own thing and figure out what I wanted to do. And I ended up doing some consulting for startups, which turned into consulting for larger organizations, and has kind of taken me down this really interesting path to doing not only product management consulting, but also coaching and mentoring and a lot of org design and transformation work. So altogether, that's brought me to this place where I've had an opportunity to do a lot of study around emotional intelligence and what that means to us in the working world. So I'm happy to be writing more about that on the Mind the Product blog these days and hopefully bringing it to a wider audience.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing. So I stumbled upon the emotional intelligence probably similar to most about a year and a half ago. And Harvard came out with this big push where they started to talk about what this all means and how the most successful managers aren't just great with data and great with analytics or some of the more quantitative skills, but have this innate ability to understand themselves and understand others and make more of that interpersonal side. And I think where it gets really fascinating and you started to talk to is on more of the, what does that all mean for a product manager, not just someone who is in a leadership capacity? Maybe you can dive a little bit deeper of like why this is something that triggered your interest and why you find it such a crucial thing.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about kind of my journey to this point and thinking more about EQ and talking more about it in relation to product management. About 15 years ago, I was at grad school at Northwestern outside of Chicago, and I was actually doing an internship in Northern California at a big telecom firm. And everything was going really well with my career, and life in general was pretty good, but yet I was going through some really tough emotional stuff, I guess you could say, that I didn't quite understand and was starting to impact not just my personal life, but my professional life as well. I found I was spending a lot of time locked in the ladies' room at work, trying to figure out why I was crying for no apparent reason. So I started to realize that I had the technical skills and I had the basic capabilities to do the work. There was something emotionally that I wasn't in touch with that was holding me back, personally and professionally. So that started me on this journey of my own self-awareness and trying to understand what was going on with me and getting a lot of input from friends and family and professionals and all this other stuff and doing a lot of exploration to understand how our emotions and our ability to work with them and interact with them really impacts what we can bring to others, be it a team at work, our boss at work, any of our colleagues, and kind of a wider organization. So when I first started on this journey, by no means was I an executive. I was a grad school intern at a big fat organization. So I was pretty much a cog in the wheel. And it really has helped me over the years to understand that no matter what level you're at, you have this need and capacity to understand yourself and how you think and how that impacts others, that is going to help you help your teammates feel better about themselves, be it if it's a cross-functional product management team where you're working with designers and engineers or data scientists, business analysts, no matter what that might be, or even if you're on an executive team at a much larger organization. So it's something that I'm hoping that people can kind of grasp and understand and want to get engaged with at an earlier place in their career, because it can help create some fundamental skills and ways of thinking that can really help you progress. And if not, then what I'm finding also is I'm coaching a lot of executives or executive level folks these days. People are starting to open up to the concept now at that level as well. So you don't have to be a leader in the organization in kind of a traditional sense to make the most of and get a lot out of understanding how you think, how you feel, and building your emotional intelligence.
Thank you for sharing. And it's interesting how you kind of went through a self journey, both within your personal life, and then noticed that it kind of crossed over into your professional life. And I actually can relate, where I was running talent acquisition at a very high growth startup, had offices overseas, and I had this very like get shit done approach, let's just spearhead, head down, and tend to be someone that's very opinionated and passionate and execute very well. But when it comes to the slightest time someone said something that was off from my opinion or disagreed, I found myself always like immediately in the defensive or dealing with things. And it was something that, to be honest, I got feedback from friends or loved ones that it was quite similar, like, oh, you never listen, or in some of my earlier romantic relationships. And I think it was something where, you know, or even just wearing my emotions too much on my sleeve, right? People would be like, why are you so stressed? When you're in an environment, it hurts you more than it helps you, right? So I kind of took this step back and was like, what is going on? So maybe you can go into kind of describing a little bit deeper, like the whole EQ and in a digestible format for the audience today, and what this all means if they're not familiar. And we can obviously give links to for people to follow up on and do their own learnings.
Sure. So product EQ is a term that I've coined probably late last year. And it was based on an experience I was having. I was actually recovering from surgery at the end of last year, and I was catching up on a lot of blogs that I hadn't read. A lot of them, of course, were in the product management world. And what I was realizing is that every single blog was about a tool or technique that we were being told we needed to perfect in order to do our jobs amazingly well, be it rapid prototyping or user journey mapping or OKRs or jobs to be done or interviews or roadmaps, you name it. There was so much content and focus around these tools and techniques. And I realized that nobody was talking about the emotional intelligence side of the equation. So that's where product EQ comes from. And emotional intelligence really comes from Daniel Goleman, who is a scientist or is a journalist, a professor, who in the late 90s released this book around emotional intelligence. And it was basically talking about how with your IQ, your intelligence quotient, that's something that you're pretty much, in a lot of ways, science says we're born with that. What we start out with in life, we pretty much have throughout life in that type of space. However, there are aspects around emotional intelligence, and he and his, through his research, found that there's four main competencies of emotional intelligence: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and social skills. And from those, they provide such an abundance of skill and kind of competency that goes far beyond in the traditional IQ. So it's something also that we can learn from and grow with. So unlike IQ, that basically Goleman and through lots of research we found is with us throughout life, this emotional intelligence, or EI or EQ, is something that we can build on through life. It's a muscle that we can build, and it takes time and commitment, but it's something that we can get a lot better at. And when it comes to things like leadership or our role in organization, we find that we can get to a certain place with these technical skills, similar to the experience I had. I'd gotten to a certain place with my hard work and my determination and my education, but I really needed these emotional intelligence competencies to get me to that next level. So that's where the concept comes from. It's the idea of emotional intelligence as defined by Goldman, and bring that into a product management world where we're focused on similar tools and techniques. But if we realize these key competencies of self-awareness and management and social awareness and social skill and focus on those, we can take our careers and our entire kind of work level into a whole new space. So that's what I wanted to focus on, and have been really excited at feedback I've been getting from people around, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wish I'd kind of thought about these different skills and techniques a lot earlier in my life, because it probably would have had a bigger impact on my career and who I am today, my relationships and such.
Right. Absolutely. And perhaps for those that are listening, we can dive into like some of the examples of what self-awareness a little bit more on a granular level, things that people can relate to, or self-management and these primers, as Goldman describes them, and what those mean.
Sure. I'll pick on a couple. So one of them, if you do read the blog of Mind the Product, is around conflict management. And it's interesting. I started talking about product management and product EQ around conflict management, because it's something that as a product manager, we deal with all the time, right? You're kind of in the pickle in the middle, dealing with all sorts of personalities, be it engineering personalities, mindset, or designers or executives. We're handling a lot of different people, a lot of different wants and needs, and at the end of the day, a lot of conflict. We can talk about all the tools and techniques to create a perfect roadmap, but if you can think about all the conflict that you go through and have to manage and come out on the other end in a good way, getting to that roadmap conclusion or a roadmap document even to start out with, then I think you're onto something a little bit different. So conflict management within that, Goldman describes it as a social skill, that it's the ability to really de-escalate disagreements and orchestrate resolutions. So it's not only, you mentioned that in the past you've received feedback that maybe you were a bit aggressive or a bit reactive when it came to certain people's comments or feedback. And in conflict management, we build the muscle to be able to deal with a situation like that in a very proactive way. What I've often seen in organizations that I've worked with is that they either exploit or avoid conflict. That exploitive ones will be people or organizations that feel that conflict is kind of the passion or the secret sauce that makes their business great. It means their people are passionate and they're dedicated, and their strong beliefs are going to be all the difference in creating an amazing business and product. Whereas those that avoid, in those organizations, they kind of, in a very British way, and I can say that because I live in London, have a long time, they kind of sweep the conflict under the rug. And through conflict management and resolution, we create environments where it's okay to have conflict, because conflict is going to happen. We're humans working in a unique setting. We're going to have conflict, but it's making it okay to have it and making it a very proactive and actually positive experience. So that's kind of one example of what emotional intelligence and kind of when you break it down, is taking a different slant on not only a skill that we know, but also kind of moving it to a place where it can be something, a strength that you could bring to an organization to help do good and move things in a good direction.
Yeah. And I guess right there, you could also say like influence as well, right? In today's more flatter organizations, especially as a product manager, where you have so many different stakeholders and have to get buy-in across the board, whether it's a client demanding CEO or an engineering team, I feel like the ability to work on your ability to like be persuasive and influence is hypercritical.
Yeah, it totally is. You know, we often hear the topic or the challenge of influence without authority, right? Because we're working in cross-functional teams a lot these days, and it's a challenge to be able to influence not just stakeholders, but people on your team who may not be or probably are not in a traditional sense reporting to you. So it is building up these different emotional skill sets, really, to get it to help you get to a point where you can easily build relationships with other people that will help you in those critical moments to be able to facilitate influence and move projects along. So again, there's a direct connection with these hard skills that we have in product management or product development overall, needing to create a roadmap, needing to get a stakeholder sign off on something. A lot of it, while there might be a tool or technique behind it, a lot of it relates to how you present yourself and how you connect with that other person, how your behavior impacts them, and building a relationship where you can influence.
Right. Absolutely. And I think the reason that this all kind of stems down to, and as we look at like the core inner workings of it that Goldman describes, is if you don't work on early enough, I think are going to catch up to you and bottom line, prohibit your growth. And it's not just for selfish reasons. It's also, there's a lot of studies that go into the effectiveness and bottom line in terms of profitability in organizations where I think Goldman quotes, it's like almost an additional 20%. There's a strong climate that this is going to be helpful.
Yeah, it's really interesting because there is a direct correlation. A lot of groups have found this actually, that was reading a study a few years ago about the tie between bottom line performance of larger publicly traded organizations and people within those organizations that were self-aware. And they found that there was a direct correlation over a 30-month period. They watched these companies. It was quite near 500 publicly traded organizations. And they found that there was a direct correlation between organizations that had people within them that were more self-aware had much better performance rates. So sure. There's a lot of data out there that actually ties together this seemingly unconnected kind of phenomenon of emotional intelligence and self-awareness, things like that, with business performance. And it is very much, I think we're getting to a place in our culture where some of these skills or a lot of these skills are no longer listed in just the nice to have sections of a job description, but they're must haves. And I think our organizations are starting to get a bit more enlightened about that. Not everyone, not everywhere by any means. And a lot of the organizations that I work with, when I first go in, there's a lot of lip service. You know, they all say they're a very self-aware organization or they deal with conflict in these very open and transparent ways. But when push comes to shove, that's not really what you see. So I think the cool thing is that we're starting to have the conversation in a much more open way. We have podcasts like this. We have columns that are going up on Mind the Product and other kind of great, interesting spaces on the internet. So I think we're having the conversation. We're not running away from that. We're realizing the importance of building up your emotional intelligence. Now we need to get it to a tipping point where more organizations are actually putting those words into action. And I think that's kind of where we are right now.
So one of the things I notice, especially with my audience, and though I work with big companies, I do work with a lot of high growth organizations where sometimes they're sub 100, maybe even sometimes sub 50 to 500, 1,000 people organizations. Obviously, the bigger they are, a little bit more structure they have. But you look at the majority of our workforce and it's a bunch of millennials, and you tend to see a big congruency where even for big organizations, there's this whole frustration around like lack of coaching and learning and development. And so on the contrary, you'll have individuals that like kind of throw their hands up in the air and they're like, oh, I can't grow. I don't have a great manager or whatnot. And they jump ship. And I think what's really interesting about this whole emotional intelligence factor is like where you can start doing some of the inner work on you. And, you know, generally speaking, as I've seen on the recruitment side, you know, the best candidates aren't just, you know, waiting for someone to give them help, right? They might even have a crappy manager or not the ideal manager to their liking, but they don't need necessarily the push to start doing this, right? Some do, some don't. So what could be some really actionable advice that you would give as you've gone through this journey to people that they realize that this is a hiccup, they're not great at it, and how do they start upon this journey?
Yeah, it gives us an opportunity to put some of our own kind of product or technical skills at work and actually do a lot of experimentation, really experimenting with how to get to a point of understanding what our key values are and thinking about how are we living those key values every day? Are we living it at work? Are we in an organization that is helping us to live those values, or maybe not so much? It can be done. Baby steps is how I started myself, you know, talking to friends, talking about some of the things that were challenging me. And those conversations a lot of times turned into, oh, I know somebody who's had a similar problem. And so they would refer me maybe onto somebody else to talk to. I now do coaching in organizations, and a lot of organizations are actually turning to bring in outside coaches to help teams understand how to grow and facilitate some of these different competencies. If you're not in an organization that does that, you can do coaching independently, find a coach outside of work. There are so many different kind of directories and places online that you can find a coach that might work for you. You can also do a lot of just self-reflection. I was, as part of the upcoming article that I have on self-awareness, it's coming out on MTP pretty soon, Mind the Product, I was reading up on Ben Franklin. I'm not sure if you know Ben Franklin, you know, our founding father, one of our founding fathers, an amazing inventor and philosopher, was also really into self-help. And he was pretty much like our first self-improvement guru. He did journaling every day, and he outlined every morning, he'd write in his journal, what good shall I do today? And at night he'd write, what good did I do today? He was a really disciplined person. He created 13 virtues that he feels he needs to have in his life. So for the really proactive personalities out there who are listening, there are different things that they can do. It's about finding the right thing for them, to be it journaling, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's finding some sort of like physical or moving meditation around walking or sitting and breathing, or even sometimes I find myself doing it just by washing dishes because I get into a rhythmic pattern and my mind can focus on some basic things. But it's finding what works for you in order to get in touch with who you are today, where you'd like to be, and what are the different kind of channels you can take to get there. There's so many books out there, there's blogs, there's so much content about improving these different aspects of emotional intelligence that Goldman talks about. There's not a loss of places to look. It's just up to you to find what works for you.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful. And one thing I would mention is you definitely read up on a lot of this stuff and you're going to kind of come up with your own method that works. But I think at the bottom line is there's nothing is going to lead you to the success. You can read as much as you want, but you have to start taking action, right? And hold yourself accountable. And so what I found, whether it's putting a workout regimen together, going on a diet, to getting better at some type of coding skill, same thing with on the emotional side, you need to kind of keep a journal entry on what you did well, what you didn't do well, where when you notice you have a flare up, like be hyper in tune with it and document it, right? And then try to take a look back and see what happened. What did I do? Yeah. What can I do? So that the next time you're there, you're not beating your head against the wall and making that same mistake. And I think if you don't have the luxury or the, with a lot of organizations, they might only give coaching to the executive team. So if you are young, find a friend, find a mentor, go to some type of product meetup or find someone that you think has dealt with this and be honest and say, hey, this is something I'm struggling with. Like, would you mind doing a checkup with me? Like, and create a Google Doc and put your own columns there and have a weekly catch-up call. Maybe it's bi-weekly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I personally, I'm not great at making decisions. That's been something I've struggled with, I think, forever. And so what I've started doing is I created a decision log, is what I call it. And when I make a decision, I write down what the decision I'm making and why I'm doing it. Like, what, you know, what's my rationale? And then once things have kind of enough time has passed, I'll go back and see, was this a decision that worked well for me, that didn't work well? you know, and it just helps me kind of grow in confidence, not only in the decisions I'm making, but also in the realization that maybe these decisions aren't that life-changing or that stressful. So, but that's something I put in place for myself. And when it comes to things like coaching, it can be, there can be a financial burden, but there's different ways of kind of getting around that. A lot of coaching organizations will, coaching students will need to do so many hours of coaching before they'll get certified a lot of times. And those initial hours a lot of times will be free of charge. So find a coaching group around you and give them your name as someone who's interested in getting some free coaching. There are different ways you can do it. If you're determined enough, you can find the way. Also, I think your point about how this has to come from you. I kind of think of it, if we had a visual of three circles, and the innermost circle, or kind of the nucleus, is you. And then in a work organization, the next level might be your team. And then the wider organization is that greatest circle, the largest circle. And starting with you being that instrument of change can then impact team and then can impact the wider organization. But yeah, the trick is finding what works for you.
Thank you. I think on that point, one of the things you mentioned to me as we started talking about this whole concept is it gets kind of awkward, right? Like you have someone who might not be as in tune to discovering these things, but maybe someone does point it out that this is a struggle and they're starting to come to terms with that. Any help in terms of like not being so hard on yourself and accepting that journey?
Yeah, it's tough because the story I started out with in the beginning where I was doing my internship and was finding myself locked in the women's loo quite often and not understanding why, I didn't do anything about that for a long time because I felt shame and confusion. It wasn't something that was discussed and it didn't resonate with the bigger persona of me as someone being strong and determined and proactive. So it took a long time. And that was about 15 years ago. And I'm happy to say, I think the climate is changing. Number one, I think the realization is nobody is perfect. Everybody has challenges emotionally that they're faced with, that they need to deal with in one way or another. We've all got something going on. There's no one person I've met through my coaching exercises or through my consulting who's got it, who's really got it all completely 100% together. There's no perfection. So I think that alone can help us just normalize the situation and realize that nobody's perfect. We all have challenges. The cool thing is, the interesting thing is how you can respond to that. It's the resilience within you and what steps you can take proactively to do something about it. I think that's really what makes the difference. So one, know that you're not alone. Two, start to just take baby steps. As I mentioned, start experimenting. Doing the smallest thing can help you make a change in mindset. In the beginning, I started keeping a gratitude list. At night, I'd start to write down like three things that I was thankful for that day. And it actually helped boost my spirits and change my mindset day by day by day. It helped to build that muscle. Because I think one of the other key things is that we need to realize that this is going to be like a lifelong commitment. It's not something that you're going to get perfect and you move off of. It's kind of like building a product, right? If you leave it alone, it gets stagnant and it dies. You need to give it constant attention. So building up your product EQ or your emotional intelligence is an ongoing everyday commitment. And the best part of it is that you can take baby steps and you can do something small every day. And then you're going to see an overall positive reaction down the line. But it is something to know that you're kind of in it for the long haul. And Goleman, when he talks about it in a lot of his writing, you know, kind of talks about the tools and techniques that we learn as product managers or as engineers or as designers are something that our brain is kind of set to learn easily. But when it comes to this emotional side, that's more of a challenge because there's behaviors and patterns that we need to identify and we need to alter. So this will take some time, but I think the outcome and the benefits, if you do stay committed to it, are huge, personally and professionally.
Well, I really want to thank you so much for your time today. I'm very excited for where this series is going to go and look forward to continuing to see the Product EQ blog that you'll be creating evolve. Hopefully we can have you back on here on Rocket Talent.
So that's a wrap, and thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd love to hear from you, so please comment below on what tips you found helpful to you and any other tips that have helped you as a product leader. I also ask, if you like what you've heard, please subscribe to my podcast and share it with your friends or peers. I will be adding a lot of value that you don't want to miss out on. In our next show, I wanted to get even deeper into one of the themes discussed today with Kate Leto around influencing conflict resolution with the famous executive coach, Dr. Glenn Berger. We are going to really dive into the inner workings of what is happening in your brain to help you understand yourself and others. So keep listening. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.